Scripture reading this morning will be from the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verses 19 through 24. Remember my affliction and my wandering, the wormwood and bitterness. Surely my soul remembers and is bowed down within me. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in him. You may be seated.
We are thrilled and happy that you have come to worship today. If you're a member here, we want you to know that we never take for granted the fact that you love God and you're part of God's family here. If you're visiting, we want you to know that you are our honored guest and that you are worshiping with a group of Christians who not only love God but love one another and seek to live and to teach His Word and His will in our lives. Our lesson today is entitled, Seeing the Mercy of God. The mercy of God is one of the most precious realities in the world. One of the most revealing themes in the Bible. And I'm afraid that it may also be one of the most tragically misunderstood truths about God. If you want to know who God is, if you want to take and you want to look deep into His heart, it's not just a display of His power. It's not just a display of His justice or His wrath to which we should look. But we need to set our eyes and look at the mercy of God. Seeing it without minimizing the fullness of His might. Being able to take and look at a life-changing panorama. Look at Jesus, look at God in a bigger picture. I'm afraid that sometimes we find ourselves, when we talk about God, we talk about His omnipotence, we talk about His wrath, His justice, His punishment, and maybe we don't spend enough time seeing His love, seeing His mercy. Many of us today are prone, maybe by nature and nurture, to see God's mercy as something that is incidental. Here's all that God is, and oh yes, He has some mercy too. Maybe we suspect that when He shows the mercy that it's accidental, or maybe at a time of His own weakness. But if we let Scripture have its say, we see that when God shows His mercy, He does so intentionally and with strength. And we, as His creatures, get the deepest glimpse of who He is in His sovereignty and in His goodness. Not simply His greatness, but His gentleness. Not only in the towering of His might, but in His surprising tenderness. As I was looking at these thoughts for today, one of the things that did come to my mind is how many times do we see Jesus displaying tenderness? Did He not say, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father? And if we look at the display of His mercy, of His kindness, maybe to the Samaritans, of whom James and John wanted to call down fire, maybe it was the widow of Nain, maybe it was the woman who was caught in the very act of adultery, we see the revealing of who God is through His mercy. God does not show His mercy by accident or weakness. but always intentionally and with strength. But God's mercy not only shows us who He is, but it reveals who we are. It also tells us essential about ourselves. Maybe as it was written in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 3, our cry for mercy admits that we are ill-deserving, not just undeserving by rights, but that we are deserving of the wrath and the punishment of God. And when God demonstrates His mercy towards us, it helps us realize how far we are from being just and righteous as our Father in heaven. But for the tender mercy of our God, each of us would be the recipients of His punishment. But we are not the first to look into the heart of Jesus, or the heart of God. We're not the first to be able to see His mercy. And I'd like this morning to give four examples where God demonstrated His mercy. I'm hoping that today, before we leave, that we can take and see and know and make our own the reality of the mercy that God has. Maybe more so than has, that God is. As He demonstrates and reveals to us through His Word, His mercy. We will examine four different occasions. An occasion with Moses, an occasion with David, an occasion with Jeremiah, and then also an occasion with the Apostle Paul. And look at each of these and see how God wants His children to see and know Him. The first glimpse we get of God's mercy came to Moses in probably one of the most important passages in the Bible. After Moses had asked God to reveal to him and show him His glory, God answers and says, "I will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." Exodus 33 and verse 19. When asked to show His glory, God puts His goodness in grace and mercy on display. I'm not confident that I have appropriately seen the mercy of God as has been revealed in Scripture. God shows His mercy unto whom He desires to show it. Israel may not have been any more righteous than Pharaoh and the Egyptians, but yet God in Himself demonstrated through His efforts His love, His mercy to all, and that He had chosen to be merciful to Israel. Just a few verses later, as it passes Moses by, God proclaims, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will be by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and on the children's children to the third and fourth generations. Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7. God is not unjust. By no means will He clear the guilty and sweep sin underneath the rug. He's not going to just say, "Oh, that's okay. It's okay. Don't worry about it." Sin has to be faced. I talked to a man once who says, "You know, I see God as this grandfatherly cotton candy figure sitting on a throne, just there to hug everybody's neck. God's not the God who will dismiss sin. Did not the Holy Spirit tell us, behold the goodness and the severity of God? And yet if all we see is the severity of God, we miss His goodness, we miss His mercy. The first and greatest truth for His people to know about Him is that He is a God merciful and gracious. That's what the Scripture says. His grace and mercy shines at the very apex of His glory. That's the heart of God that He wants revealed, He wants demonstrated. And when He does have to demonstrate His might and His justice, it says, God says, He is slow to anger. Then He will show His wrath, and justly so. It would be unloving to His people if God did not get angry when they were unfaithful or when there were those who would oppose them and assault them. And yet even in social justice, God is slow to anger. Wrath is His righteous response to evil. But it's not His heart. As one person has identified, justice is the stem and His mercy is the flower. So when Moses asked God, show me Your glory, God says, see My goodness and My mercy. Was He still in the cloud? Were there still thunderings and lightnings going on? Yes. When Moses says, show me Your glory, God says, here's My goodness, here's My mercy, and I give it to all who I will. Let's look at another occasion, the occasion of David, when David fell on mercy. Moses' glimpse of merciful God rightly became the leading revelation in Israel. It would be remembered even when the people turned their backs on God. In 2 Chronicles chapter 30 and verse 9, the Lord your God is gracious and merciful and will not turn away His face from you if you return to Him. The people remembered the promise and the mercy and the graciousness of God. The prophet celebrated Him as graceful and merciful. Isaiah 30 verse 18, Joel 2 verse 13. But the psalmist, I believe, probably most clearly basked in the glory of His mercy. Psalms 86 and verse 5. It should be no surprise then that the psalmist who is to write the words of God's mercy, that he himself would cast himself down utterly on the mercy of God. He began his song in Psalms 51 after his sin with Bathsheba and Uriah. And he says in this psalm, have mercy on me, O God, according to Your steadfast love. According to Your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. You see, wrath is God's righteous response to evil, but it's not His heart. That's not what He desires to demonstrate and to show. Later, when David had sinned by numbering the people of Israel, the prophet Gad gave him three options for God's discipline. He says, for your punishment, there can be three years of famine come upon you in the land. That's one option you have, David. Another option is, or for 3 months, you can flee before your foes who will seek to pursue you. Or the third one, or shall there be 3 days pestilence in your land? 2 Samuel 24 and verse 13. David had had a glimpse of the heart of God, and he knew exactly where to fall. Notice his words, let us fall into the hand of the Lord, For his mercy is great, but let me not fall into the hand of man. David was able to look and to see, as he looked at the heart of God, he says, God's merciful, let me fall at his feet. Let him decide what shall be my fate. Don't let that rest with man. Moses asked God to show me your glory. God says, see my mercy. The psalmist David, after he had sinned and deserved punishment, knowing the heart of God, he says, let God do. Let God decide. For God's merciful. Then we come to Jeremiah, who wept for mercy. In the generations after King David reigned, Israel had become so immoral. After Solomon died, the kingdom was divided. And the people of Israel had become so ungodly that in 587 the Babylonians besieged, conquered, and decimated Jerusalem in probably the most horrid time period or horrid event of the Old Testament. The city was so famished and desperate that according to Lamentations chapter 4 and verse 10, that women boiled and ate their own babies. Tells you how bad of situation things were. And yet it was in these blackest of times the prophet Jeremiah wrote or penned those words which were read this morning in the book of Lamentations. See, chapter 3 is the heart of the lament, where the pain is the most exposed and expressed. And hope seems to be all but lost. Yet even in that time period, even in that point of their despair, hear the prophet, remember my afflictions and my wanderings, the wormwood in my gall. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down before me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. Even when things were the very worst in Israel, the prophet of God tells the people that they have hope because of God's mercy. In the very time, in the very place where God's people would be most tempted to give up, to abandon their hope, to turn their back, to just lay down and quit, Jeremiah says, God's mercies are new every morning. His love, steadfast love, never comes to an end. I don't know about you. I need to hear that. I need to sing that. I need to say that. I need to remember that. Because if Gary Bennett was to judge Gary Bennett, there'd be no salvation. And yet, the God of all creation, as he looks down on each of us, as he looked down on Israel, carried a message to the people. His love continues. His mercy is there. Do we see the glory of God in mercy that Moses saw? Do we understand how David fell on God's mercy for his strength? Do we understand how Jeremiah was able to look beyond his circumstance to see God's mercy and to give hope with that very promise? Family, I share with you this morning, it does not matter where you have been, but where you find yourself now. It doesn't matter what sins you have committed. If you go over to 1 Corinthians, you can find a whole list of sins of those who had desecrated the will of God. Whatever sin has been committed, God's mercy is greater. Whatever choices we live with or have to live with are not choices that can totally disintegrate us. But they are choices in themselves that help us to realize and see and to appreciate the very mercy of God and His love. Paul, the apostle himself, marveled at the mercy of God. Where it said in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, in the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son. I submit to you this morning, not only did Jesus come to dispense mercy, but to embody it, to reveal God's mercy to all who would receive it. Jesus is the mercy of God made human. He didn't just teach people to echo God's mercy, but to live it. He Himself was and is the mercy of God to us. I need to understand that. I need to know that Jesus Himself is more than just the Son of God who came and died on a cross and rose again. I need to realize the Scripture teaches that God in Jesus demonstrates, shows, reveals His mercy. Is God just? Is there a wrath that God possesses? Is there going to be a punishment and judgment? Yes. But again, I say I do not believe that to be the heart of God. Paul would continue and talking about and showing and demonstrating this mercy. Do you realize that the number one request made of Jesus while He walked the earth that we have recorded in Scripture is, have mercy on us, or have mercy on me? Oh, that we would realize what that means and how that is displayed and lived out. You see, that's precisely what Jesus did in His perfect life, in His sacrificial death, in His triumphant resurrection. The Apostle Paul, who received his ministry because of God's mercy, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 25, became an instrument of God's decisive revelation. Apostle Paul became the instrument through whom God displayed His mercy. As Paul describes himself as being a chief of sinner, one who needed and needs God's mercy. What Moses first saw and David fell on and Jeremiah wept for, Paul and others saw the other side of Christ. And he marveled. In all the Bible, Paul, I think, probably gives the clearest vantage of God's mercy as is inspired there in Romans chapter 9, verse 16. Says, who has mercy? Reference to God. Literally, that means the mercy having God. God expresses His heart, as Paul will show, in a way that the demonstration of His wrath and the display of His power do not. In verses 22 and 23 of the same chapter, gives us a glimpse into God's heart. And what we find at the very bottom of His heart is mercy. This is perhaps as deep as the Bible goes in explaining to us why God governs His creation as He does. Hear the verse that Paul says in 22 and 23. And he poses this as a question, and it's more of a rhetorical question. In the writing, it's asked as a question, but it's given as an answer, as an explanation. What if God, desiring to show His wrath and to make known His power, has endured with much patience vessels of wrath, prepared for destruction, in order to make known the riches of His glory for vessels of mercy, which He prepared beforehand for glory? Our God is not just powerful. He's not simply a God of uncompromising justice. He is a mercy-having or mercy-possessing God. That's who He is. Make no mistake. God does make known His omnipotence. God does make known His power and His might and His strength and His justice. He does demonstrate His righteous wrath. God is holy. To not demonstrate wrath in a world of sin and rebellion against Him would make God untrue to Himself and unloving to His people. God is all-powerful beyond our even comprehension. And such an almighty God does indeed show wrath with His triumphing glory. But I say again, wrath is not His heart. Severity in God always serves His heart to mercy. His heart shows His heart of mercy to make known the riches of His glory to His people, who are, as Paul said, the vessels of His mercy. One thing I have noticed over the years is that in humanity, we can show great love and great mercy. We can show and demonstrate compassion beyond one's ability to even comprehend. But at the same time, mankind can also demonstrate some of the most cruelest, unmerciful, unloving acts that you would not even find in the animal kingdom. And God, in calling His people to Himself, calls us to be vessels of mercy. Mercy to demonstrate to others, yes. But receptacles of the mercy that God wants to demonstrate and give to each of us. I don't know how you view God. I've been told that people have a view of God that comes from the relationship with their Father. But I can tell you how God is viewed by the Holy Spirit in His Word. And whereas we spend and know and talk about the power of God, the justice of God, and judgment that's going to come, let us not negate, let us not neglect, let us not forget that God's merciful. And regardless of where you have been, regardless of what we have done, God wants us to be the recipients of His mercy. You've not gone too far that you cannot come back. You're not so far away from God that God can't pour out His mercy on you. He wants to. He wants you to know that you're loved, that you're not abandoned, that you're not hurting alone, and that the guilt and the broken, contrite heart that you have is ready to receive His mercy. Entrust God, entrust yourself to God's mercy. Our God is not simply sovereign, wonderful as it is to celebrate, and He's not only a God of uncompromising justice, thankful as we are that He is. He is a mercy-having God who invites us to look at His awesome authority and sovereign strength, but to set our eyes on His heart of mercy, to look right at Him, and to see how much the heart of God wants you to be blessed, to receive mercy, to be pardoned and forgiven, that you and me could be vessels of mercy, recipients of the love and mercy which God pours out. The question with which we are faced this morning is, how will I respond to the mercy of God? If God provides and wants to provide all the means for me to have an abundant life in this life and the life to come, how will I respond to it? Will I ignore the lesson? Will I turn my back on the Scripture and not heed it? Will I decide to wait for another time to think about it and to deal with it? Know assuredly that God's mercy is there waiting and calling for you. There's a way that we can encourage or help you. Grant us the privilege and opportunity while we stand and while we sing.